You're listening to Talk Sports.
Are you driving?
Yeah, I'm driving right now.
No, you're at the Waffle House.
Oh, no. No, I'm at the Waffle House.
Crying emoji face.
Airing every day from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m.
What's so funny, Beverly?
What do this have great waffles?
You know who else has great waffles, Beverly?
Okay.
Airing every day from
noon to 3.
You know, Beverly, I remember two Sundays ago after LSU game. When we woke up and you made
waffles.
Your scrambled eggs are the best. Those biscuits you make. Fluffy.
And this feels creepy.
I'm 1340 WKGN.
1232, John Curry to Bev. You up? Eyeball emoji, purple pickle.
There we go. There we go. The old eggplant.
Hour two kicking off in the White Claw Studios. Hour two headlines. What do you got for us, Draven?
Going to start with rumors of Urban Meyer's staff. We talked about yesterday. Charlie Strong was rumored to potentially come in as a defense coordinator. Offense coordinator, I found this one interesting, John. Old Scott Linehan has been rumored as a guy that could come in for the OC for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Scott Linehan last spent his time with the Dallas Cowboys back in 2018, I guess. Got him to the playoffs, but a lot of criticism came
like
towards
a weird
him. Yeah,
if Urban does that.
What do we make of this? I didn't even think they had like an existing relationship or anything. I didn't really think that was going to be the tie for Urban Meyer.
I don't know,
but yeah, that's kind of looking like the potential OC again. Hasn't coached since 2018. He was last with the Cowboys, and he got fired and kind of took a lot of the blame for some of the play calls in the playoff game against the Rams. But yeah, we'll see how that works out for Urban Meyer's staff. We had another head coach get hired yesterday. Pretty big name. We had the Jets find their guy, Robert Saleh, the defense coordinator from the San Francisco 49ers. Looks like he's going to become the next head coach of the Jets, J-E-T-S, Jets. What do you make of this move? Good move, bad move for the Jets?
No, I mean, I think Saleh looks like a guy who's going to be good.
Yeah.
He had whether or not he's good, like that'd be a hire that I would easily get excited about if I was a Jets fan. Like he just looks tough. Like you,
yes,
it's something nice about having a head coach that looks like he can beat everybody else's ass. Like that's what I always fall back on when it comes to Vrabel. He's not always the smartest guy, but at least he can beat somebody's ass if it has to happen, and that's cool. I think players respond to that pretty well.
I'd be able to defend your honor.
You want your players to respect. You want to be tough and young and interject and all that stuff. And you know, he coached good defenses in San Francisco, and the 49ers had nice things to say about him as he left. And I think the Jets, you know, if I'm them, I probably want an offensive coach. But maybe you want your mentality to just be, you know, focused on defense, and maybe he'll come and do some of the things that the 49ers did offensively. Maybe he'll play that type of style. And if you're the Jets, you can get behind that of tough defense and making our quarterback play pretty safe, and we'll run the ball.
Pretty, I do think he'll bring like maybe a little bit of a toughness kind of mindset, like you said. He's kind of has that macho to him. What does this mean for Sam Darnold? Does this mean more likely to stay, more likely to leave? Do you think that changes anything for Sam Darnold and his future here with the Jets?
I would say that, yeah. I mean, you would think that Sam Darnold could play the Jimmy Garoppolo role better than Jimmy G has. I mean, again, that's if he wants to come in and kind of keep things. It seems like he would like to play that style of football that the 49ers play. So Darnold can do that.
Mm-hmm.
I would say they try to build. I would say this probably means they're probably going to take Sewell at number two. Really build your offensive line and have two studs and like kind of just build a run game.
Yeah.
That's what I would think. Or maybe trade back and, you know, get more picks and do that. But I think this means Darnold will be back.
Well,
it's like you're bringing in an offensive guru to like shape a new quarterback, right? So you can't really take Justin Fields and have him with a defensive coach right away, right? I feel like that would be kind of weird.
Well, I was going to say that Saleh is expected to bring the 49ers passing game coordinator, Mike LaFleur. Is that a relationship to Matt LaFleur? No?
Yeah.
It is? Okay, I figured. And it's the passing game coordinator for the 49ers. Mike LaFleur is expected to be the Jets offensive coordinator, so he's expected to bring him over with him as well, Saleh. So we'll see. We'll see how that works out. That'll be interesting. Probably build up that defense a little bit. They need a lot to go for him as well. So first two head coaches hired. Here we go. Starting to get the ball rolling. And, of course, the Falcons Look like they're going to most likely hire Arthur Smith as well. So
he canceled his Lions.
You don't think Arthur's going
to
go?
He probably looks like, I don't want to go to the Lions either. It's either coming back to Tennessee or going to the Falcons.
You'd rather go to the Falcons than the Lions, though.
That's
right?
What I'm saying. Like, yeah, you canceled. Hey, I'm not going to go. I don't need to go talk to Detroit. I assure you I will not be going to Detroit.
Cam, I mean, how would we feel about Arthur Smith?
What's the name of the it's Ford Field. Never mind. I was going to say, is it FedEx Field up in Detroit? But no, it's Ford Field. Yeah, Ford Field. Are we going to ask about Arthur Smith, I guess?
You feel good about that hire if that does end up going through?
Yeah. I think that's a pretty good GM head coach combo we'll have coming in. And he kind of fixes one of our biggest issues, red zone offense. He's been pretty good at that, and that's been our worst thing in the past under Dan Quinn, really. We always just stall once we get to the red zone. We're really good in between the 20s, but outside, once we get to the red zone.
Yeah, if Arthur Smith can bring Derrick Henry with him, and you guys might
I was about to say, it's kind of
hell.
It'll
be wild when he has Todd Gurley running for 2,000 yards, huh?
If he can bring in Derrick Henry and A.J. Brown, and guys can't get tackled on the goal line, that red zone offense will look pretty good. Matt Ryan's going to be running the read option like Tannehill was.
Hell
okay.
Yeah.
They could draft Najee Harris, second round. There you go. Have an explosive running back again.
There you go.
The number not a bad move. Seen say draft him in the first round are driving me insane.
Najee?
Yeah. We have the fourth pick, people. We're not taking Najee Harris.
No, there's no way. Staying in the NFL. So this is kind of getting interesting, this kind of dynamic that's changing right now in the NFL. So we had Deshaun Watson, who of course was all upset. He didn't get a say on the hiring of the GM from New England, and he sat there and complained and whined and wanted and demanded a trade. Reportedly, all that came out, and then Cal McNair came out and said earlier today the owner of the Texans pretty much saying, like, hey, Deshaun Watson, he will be in the loop on their search for a new head coach. He's like, he's in the loop. Don't worry, Deshaun. Like, we're going to talk to you, making sure that's known. And then you also have Russell Wilson, who wants to get involved with the hiring of the offense coordinator for the Seattle Seahawks. So, kind of a shift. We see this in the NBA where, you know, players have a lot of power. They want to be involved with the head coaching searches and stuff like that, especially when it comes to star players. Is this going to be a trend we see in the NFL as we see Deshaun Watson wanting to get more involved and you see Russell Wilson, star players, star quarterbacks wanting to get more involved? Is this something we're going to see more in the NFL, you think, John?
Sorry, I wasn't listening.
Okay, Cam. Cam was listening.
I got an email.
Hayden,
I was trying to check.
Anybody? the audience want to respond?
I'm sorry.
You're asking about the NFL doing something more. Was it, was it? I don't know.
The quarterbacks.
Yes, absolutely.
The quarterbacks wanting more power.
Okay, I heard that about
getting involved with the GM searches, head coach searches.
Gotcha. Okay, I heard you talking about that, and then I got an email. I had to text somebody and ask them an important question. Thank you. Okay, sorry. I mean, I think you kind of have to, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, like, we've seen the power dynamic change in the NBA for so long. Now with the NFL, like, I mean, Russell, we're not too far removed from Russell wanting traded. And I don't know if you guys remember that a couple years ago. Yeah. He's like, hey, get me out of here. Now, I don't know if he still feels that way. But, like, with Deshaun Watson, whenever he goes public and they say, like, hey, his anger when they traded DeAndre Hopkins last year was a 2, and he's at a 10 right now. That seems like, hey, you guys are really repair this with your quarterback, because there are ways to get out. Like, you guys remember Carson Palmer just like, nope, I'm not playing anymore.
Yeah.
Was just like, I'm done. Not playing
anymore. He technically retired, didn't he? And then, like, came back and played with the Raiders.
He told the Bengals, like, I will not play another snap for you. And they're like, oh, yeah, you will. You'll show me. He's like, nope, I got $70 million in the bank. I'm good. I'll never play football for you again. And they said, okay, we'll see. And he never did. And eventually he came back. They traded him to Oakland. Then he ended up in Arizona and had a, you know, a really good career in Arizona. Like, I think he's in their Hall of Fame or their Ring of Honor or whatever. Like, he took them to, you know, he didn't get them to Super Bowl. They were like
to an NFC Championship game.
Yeah, they
got
the one seed that one year, and they got beat by the Panthers, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, it was Cam.
But, like, their quarterbacks can have some power, especially, you know, like Deshaun Watson, who was at a 10. Now, I don't know whether quarterbacks would get it, because I feel like Aaron Rodgers didn't get to pick his head coach.
No.
So I don't know if it'll be a new thing with younger quarterbacks or what. Like, I don't know. Yeah. But especially in this situation with Deshaun Watson, you kind of got to try to make him happy.
does Russell Wilson have a say on the next OC? Because he didn't play well. Like, I feel like Deshaun, it's almost like you have the excuse because it was more about his team being terrible. But
he said he didn't play well, but he says because the OC sort of kind of let him down. So
yeah, Sean Hubbard. But Anthony Lynn has actually been discussed to replace Schottenheimer as the Seahawks offensive coordinator. That's been the first name to pop up. So
that seems strange.
It's a little interesting.
I didn't know what Anthony Lynn coached. I didn't know if he was an offensive.
I kind of thought saw him as a defensive guy myself.
I thought he was a special teams guy.
Yeah, but yeah, there's been discussion as him as the OC. I don't know if that would be the best thing with his situational kind of play calling. I don't know if he was calling the plays with the Chargers or not, but we'll see. We'll see what happens. Did you guys see Odell taking to Twitter?
I thought it was where he said they and not we.
Yeah, what's going on here?
He said, don't be surprised if they win this weekend. Yeah, I was a little surprised he didn't say we, but.
Right, he said, just throwing it out there, right? Just throwing it out there. But is he talking about the Browns? Maybe he's talking about somebody else, right?
I imagine he's talking about the Browns.
Is that the whole point? But yeah, Odell, maybe showing a little support. It was interesting. I guess, is he just not wanting to say the Browns specifically? Is that what this is?
Hey, they'll know who I'm talking about.
Right. When they do win, that's going to be his whole claim.
I don't know.
Showing a little support to his team. Also, with college football, I don't know if you guys saw, but wide receiver Justin Ross from Clemson. He will be returning, and will be returning with the Clemson Tigers. He was supposed to be going to be a stud coming into this season. A lot of people thought he could have been the top receiver in the draft, but he had the neck and spinal injury, missing the whole entire season this past year, and he will be returning to Clemson, get to play with that upcoming exciting freshman. So that'll be interesting to see for Clemson, getting another stud wide receiver.
And Justin Ross says coming back, so like then I had Jalen Hyatt, and it'll be all good.
Man, they'll be back at the top, won't they?
Jeez, I wonder who's going to make the playoffs next year. You think Alabama, Ohio State, and Clemson will be there? At least two of them, right?
I'd lock in two,
yeah,
for sure.
You'd bet a lot of money on at least two of those teams being in the playoff next year, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Never know.
I don't know what the odds on that would be. I feel like you'd be paying juice on that. I feel like it'd be like -150 to bet that.
Yeah, honestly.
Probably.
Two of those three? You might could get all three of them for like plus like 120 or something like that. But like, oh, that's fantastic. Well, good for Clemson. They needed it.
Don't they?
Yeah.
Don't they?
Good, bad challenge. You got anything else you want to add?
Just got mentioned, John Wolford ruled out versus the Packers. Going to be all Jared Goff this weekend. No Wolford. Goff still got the broken thumb dealing with that, but looks like he is going to be good enough to start, and basically no backup plan. Now they do have Blake Bortles, I guess, to back up, and he's been in some playoff games. But looks like Jared Goff.
It seems like they really want Wofford to be back.
Yeah,
they seem done with Goff. Like it seems really like that Goff could be playing his last game of the of his career in Los Angeles.
Man, really? You think so?
I mean, they're worried about John Wofford. Yeah. I feel like any franchise would rather have their starting quarterback fresh off of surgery, where he obviously can still throw the ball.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Rather than John Wofford, right?
Yeah, I would think so.
Like anybody. Like if Aaron Rodgers was hurt in the same situation, you think the Packers would have John Wofford or banged up Aaron Rodgers?
I'd say Aaron Rodgers.
And I feel like if you're out here like, you know, oh man, really sad, Wofford can't play, it feels like you're done with Jared Goff.
Especially for a division round playoff game, like to go to the NFC Championship game.
Let's go to break. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. NFL playoffs this weekend. Getting close. What are we, 27 hours away from kickoff? 4 o'clock?
Oh, yeah.
Get your same game parlay ready, Cameron?
Working on it.
Work on us a same game parlay, which is exclusive to FanDuel Sportsbook. Listen up, football fans. This is the perfect way to make the playoffs even more exciting. It's called a same game parlay bet. You've heard us talk about it before. They're only available on FanDuel Sportsbook. A same-game parlay bet lets you combine multiple bets from a single game for an even bigger win during this divisional round. Combine the money line, the over-under, player props. Who's going to score a touchdown? Who's going to score the first touchdown? You think Jared Goff's going to throw for under 200 and whatever yards? Bet Jared Goff to throw under 200 and whatever yards. And best of all, FanDuel is letting you place the same game parlay bet risk-free. No risk. All FanDuel customers, you can now get up to $10 back on your bet if you don't win. The playoffs are the perfect time to give it a shot. It's just one of the many ways to win on FanDuel. You can still get some future bets on who's going to win the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. Cam looked it up, and Alabama's only 3-1 to win the title next year. Surely they don't win the title next year after losing everybody. Surely they have to cycle back a year. But you can get your Super Bowl odds up there, some NBA championship odds, the Baller Vols to win it all, mm-hmm. and live betting on every game as the line changes. If you see a trend you like, hammer it. Your team gets off to a slow start. You think they'll make a comeback. Boom, perfect opportunity. Now the spread's even lower. If you haven't already, just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. If you're signing up, use the promo code TALKSPORTS so we get credit. If you're a current customer, don't worry about it. You're already set to go. Just go check out the same game parlays only available on FanDuel Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. Max refund $10. Terms apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. For problem gambling support, call 1-800-889-9789. All right, question of the day when it comes to the NFL.
Yes.
4 games this weekend.
Yes.
How many games are within single digits by the time we come in here on Monday? Take your time,
I'm
guys.
I'm going to say 3.
Do you think 3 single-digit games? Mm-hmm. One double?
Yeah, I'm going to say the Packers is the one that goes double digits.
Yeah, kind of thinking like 3 blowouts and 1 close game. Saints and Bucks being the close game.
Okay. Hayden?
I'm going to go 2-2. 2 blowouts, 2 close games. Okay. I think the Saints game will be a blowout.
You think the Saints are going to blow them out?
Yeah, I think the Saints will blow them out. They seem to have the formula against the Bucks, and it might be a mental block for the Bucks. To be honest, I mean, after that last beatdown, what'd you say last week? Like the most dominant game all season was that game,
all time.
According
to like the DVOA metric, the way they dominated that game, the analytics said that was the biggest blowout in NFL history.
Ish, on prime time too.
When you weigh out how good the teams are and blah blah blah, that was the most impressive performance. The Saints played the best game in NFL history.
We'll say the Bucks playing a little bit better football right now, right?
Compared 14-7. There have been 21 times when a team has won two times against an opponent and played them a third time in the playoffs. The team that's 2-0 has won that third game 14 of the 21 times. About a 2-1 clip. I mean, it is a 2-1 clip. So the Saints, you know, have the advantage there. But like Draven said, the Bucks have been playing better since then. When it comes to that game, I kind of feel like, you know, Marshawn Lattimore has dominated that matchup with Mike Evans. Like, Mike Evans, I want to say it's like 1 catch against him since, like, 2018. Like, he just doesn't catch the ball against Marshawn Lattimore. But I do think that this game should be the game that Tom Brady has been hanging around Gronk and Antonio Brown for. Like, hey, this is why I'm putting up with you, Antonio Brown. Hey, Gronk, this is why I convinced you to come back. Let's go. It's time. Mike Evans can get taken out of this game by Marshawn Lattimore, but I think this will be a game where Brady's looking at Gronk and Antonio Brown, and the both of those guys are going to have big games if they're going to have a chance. He's going to be targeting them. This is why you put up with Antonio Brown's antics, because you want to go here and win another championship. This is why you bring him down.
Especially with Mike Evans being hurt to what? Little less than 2 weeks ago now.
Yeah, but he was balling last week. He looked fine last week against the football team. Yeah, which still sounds really stupid. I don't actually mind watching his name, the football team, until you have to say the football team.
Yeah.
Because I always want to call him the Redskins, and like, oh, I'm not supposed to do that. No, it's Washington, I guess. It's Washington. Mike Evans looked pretty good, but Brown has started looking good. I mean, he caught a touchdown last week. You saw that. And I still think if they need a 3rd-and-5 or 3rd-and-6, he's going to try to find Gronk across the middle. I think you're going to get to the playoffs, and that's going to be what they still do. So, Cam, how many games did you say you think 3 are going to be close, 1's a blowout? Draven, you said 2-2, and Hayden, you said what?
I said 1.
Oh, you said 1-3.
1 close game, yeah,
and then you said 2-2?
Yeah, the other one I would say that would be a blowout is I honestly think the Bills are going to blow the Ravens out.
I agree. I'm not sold on Lamar Jackson. He still can't throw the ball.
Lamar Jackson never played in the snow either, I don't think. Yeah, I think it's going to be very cold in Buffalo this weekend. South Florida boy.
I think I saw somewhere he was like actually on the feet against the spread when it was under like 40 degrees.
You can't see the face I'm making unless you're watching on Periscope, but I'm making a, don't really care about that.
Yeah. You got, I think the chance of snow is really slim, too.
You guys might be too young. You might need a history lesson here. Just Google, I'm going to say it's like 2002, 2003, Mike Vick going into Lambeau Field and beating Brett Favre.
I've seen it before.
Yeah. They said the same thing about Mike Vick. About playing outside in the snow
and cold.
Cold
weather, yeah.
Southern boy. Went up there and beat Brett Favre. And Josh Allen ain't no Brett Favre. Especially at that point of Brett Favre, like the mystique around Lambeau Field. So I'm not necessarily worried about that. But, you know, I do think the questions of the Ravens offense are still there.
Yeah.
You could play this game in Tampa or Miami where he's from, and I still would be worried about, like, their offense against a Bills defense that's played better. Now, can Baltimore just run the ball down their throat and shorten the game? Kind of like Baltimore's probably going to have the same game plan against Buffalo that they do against Kansas City, which is we got to shorten this game and just ground the clock out, like keep them off. And the Colts did have luck doing that against Buffalo. The Colts should have won that game. Yeah. I would be surprised if that was a blowout, though. I just think the Ravens' defense is good enough to keep that close to bother the Bills a couple times. I do think they're going to get in trouble if they just blitz the entire game like they're talking about doing. I think that's a bad idea. But I think Baltimore will run the ball enough to shorten the game, and I think that'll be a single-digit game.
One thing that does hurt our blowout thing, Draven, is Zach Moss is out this weekend, I believe. So he's their number one back.
Zach Moss doesn't do too much.
If you're relying on Zach Moss for a blowout, I think you should
reconsider. I was about to say, I'm not.
As far as running the ball.
I still got Devin Singletary. They air it out anyways. But I think we're going to really see how much better Josh Allen is than Lamar Jackson. I think we're going to really get to see that, really get to show how much better that guy is than Lamar. You just have to make Lamar throw the football. Even last week against your Titans, he didn't throw the ball that well.
No, he didn't.
Made a couple big throws to Marquise Brown. That was it. That was literally it. If he didn't have 100 yards rushing in that big, 40, 50-yard touchdown run, that game goes a lot different.
And when they did throw the ball there at the end, that guy was wide open. He just completely missed
him. Yeah, he missed him. Lamar's good. Yeah, I mean, he's a great athlete, but make him throw the football. Put the pressure on him. Yeah,
Lamar Jackson
still
is 7-0 against the spread in outdoor games with a temperature below 40 degrees.
Yeah, I mean, he's 2-0 against the Bills, too, and I'm pretty sure those games were in Buffalo, too. At least one of them was when they went up there last year and beat them. Beat them down pretty bad, I think.
The weather's not a problem.
Snow might change it a little bit, but I don't think it would either. Like, I'm not worried about Lamar in the conditions. I'm more worried about just the offense of the Ravens getting in a shootout. Like, if the Bills are able to score early, like, I worry about that. I think we're going to have three games outside of single digits, though. I hope I'm wrong, but I think the Chiefs and Packers are going to roll, and I wouldn't be surprised if either the Bills or the – I guess I was thinking more of the Saints, but I'll say two, actually, because I think the Bucs can keep it. And I think that Bills-Ravens game is going to be a battle. So I'll say two. I think the one seeds both are going to roll, though.
No chance for the Browns?
I won't say no chance. But if I'm just saying what I think is the most likely, I think it's just the Chiefs get up early and the Browns can't come back. I think we're underestimating, as we look ahead to the playoffs, like the one team getting a bye.
Yeah.
Like getting a team that's, you know, in Cleveland's situation, been having to play every week, kind of undermanned and just kind of tired.
I'm curious.
Coming off an emotional win.
I'm curious if the Chiefs look a little rusty. They basically 2 weeks off, right? Because they rested week 17.
Yeah, 2 weeks off.
And last year they got off to a slow start. Remember, they played the Texans, were down 24-0 in a blink of an eye.
What was the final score of that game?
51 doesn't.
what did the Texans score?
Seven.
One touchdown?
They scored seven afterwards, like in garbage time. Like, it was a 51-0 run, I think. It might not have been a 51-0 run, but it was like 44-0 run. So, I mean, like, they came out rusty, but then they're like, okay, it's time to go. I don't know if they have that gear this year. We've been waiting to see that. But, you know, I think they have the chance to just swarm anybody and just completely overwhelm them. And Cleveland is built to, like, have the lead and try to run the clock and play their style. So, it really depends on who gets out of the gates in the first quarter. And whether or not it's going to be close. Like, if the Chiefs are down 17 in the first half, I'll still think they can come back. But.
Right.
Didn't they kind of rat off like three or four scores right there against Miami when they were down earlier this year?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I thought.
I mean, they've shown that they can flip the switch. It's just whether or not – they haven't beaten a team by double digits since, what was it, like week eight?
Yeah, against the Jets. Yeah. Like,
they either let teams hang around or let teams, like, get back in the game late. I still think they'll beat down Cleveland. But, no, Cleveland has a chance. I mean, run the ball, and Myles Garrett makes a couple plays, and all of a sudden, you know, you got a lead. But I'll just predict the Chiefs to win by, like, 17. That's where I'm at right now. Take advantage of the same game parlays over on FanDuel Sportsbook. Let's catch a break. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio. As we continue to wait here for any type of news, let's try to figure out what Tennessee's going to do. John Reed, Cam Black, Team Haven. Team Haven, what do you guys want to talk about? What's on your mind?
Oh, we can talk about Tennessee basketball for tomorrow.
What you that, is that always your default? Like, I understand, like, you want to give the boys their time, but, like, we can't make Tennessee Vanderbilt.
You asked for something, John. I mean,
that's what you want to talk about. It could be anything. What's on your mind, and it's always Tennessee basketball for you, and that's fine.
That's just something we don't talk about that much, so that's always an easy one.
We'll talk about it when we're playing good teams, but we haven't played this week, and, like,
okay.
I'm not, sometimes I just get loud. I'm not yelling at you. I just, sometimes my voice is just loud, so.
The new net ratings came out today.
I mean, are we still top five?
Yeah, we are still top five.
I saw that in bracketology. We've gotten down to a 2 seed.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Bracketology. I want to say in the latest ESPN mock drafts, we had, I think, Springer and Keon both going in the first round. I want to say Springer was down at, like, number 19 and Keon was up at number 8. And they said, like, hey, don't be confused by Keon's production. Like, the athleticism jumps off the – jumps off the page, and he'll make a couple of big-time plays. It was actually a Bleacher Report. It wasn't ESPN, but it was one of Bleacher Report's writers. Had Keon still ahead of Springer. I don't know. I feel like that had kind of changed. I thought Springer had kind of shown some things, but, yeah. You know, how do you want to make Tennessee Vanderbilt interesting?
Well, we don't have to talk about the game tomorrow. We can just talk about the new net rankings, maybe the bracketology. New net rankings, Baylor, Gonzaga, Michigan, Tennessee, Iowa, that's top five.
So we have us number four?
Yeah, so we dropped one spot. Michigan jumped ahead of us, which is probably deserved. I mean,
blowout win.
Yeah, Michigan looks really good.
Undefeated.
Yeah. Michigan looks really good. What did Gonzaga end up winning by last night?
I don't know.
Were four, like, at halftime against, like, a – or, like, four – they were up, like, five or six, somewhere between six and four, I guess, between, you know, against a –
they won by 25.
Okay.
Against Pepperdine.
Yeah, but it was like a 4-point game at halftime, right? Or a 6-point game at halftime?
Yeah, it was 43-39 at half. Yeah.
Okay. Yep.
But they ended up turning it on.
Man, that West Coast Conference is such a joke.
Yeah, like, exactly. I mean, like, St. Mary's will be good.
San Francisco is actually pretty good this year.
Really?
They beat Virginia earlier this year. They played with Gonzaga the first half when they played when we lost to Alabama that night.
Yeah.
They were playing, and they actually – but the, pretty close first half.
The point is, like, they're not going to really be tested.
They're not going to lose, no.
Which is nice. It's a nice setup. I mean, Gonzaga is kind of the Clemson of college basketball just in that regard. Like, yeah, you might play one tough game a year, but, like, the ACC is not going to really test you the same way that the WCC isn't going to really test you.
Yep.
So Gonzaga's probably going to be undefeated going into NCAA tournament play, Hayden? That's what you think?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. BYU was their toughest game left on the schedule, and they blew them out.
St. Mary's, yeah, like John said, St. Mary's is good every now and then.
I just know that
they've made the tournament every now and then. Conferences, that's the team that can play with them, but yeah.
I believe their coach, Randy Bennett, I'm pretty sure that's his name. I don't know why I know that.
I don't know why it
matters. Yeah. Good trivia question.
Random flex, I guess.
Matthew Dellavedova also went to St. Mary's.
I do know that. That's why I don't like St. Mary's.
I hate
it is Randy Bennett, his coach.
And back in high school, I lost a big bet on Davidson versus St. Mary's.
Oh.
I was on
Is it Steph?
Yeah, I was on the Steph Curry train before the tournament run. I was a Steph guy, like his sophomore and junior, and they went to the W. They went to play St. Mary's in that little ass gym with a weird ass camera angle. And lost a lot of money one night. a late night Davidson St. Mary's game. So I've always hated St. Mary's
at 11 o'clock on ESPNU.
Correct. No, I think it was an ESPN game.
ESPN 2
maybe.
Yeah.
You just took away a good NBA draft trivia question. He could have put Dellavedova on there, and we both could have gotten it right.
Yeah.
Now you won't put it on there.
Dang it.
Sad.
Dang it.
Do you know the sport that features things called the roast beef, the stale fish, and the donkey kick? What sport where those three things are?
The terms they use.
Yeah, three things in the sport.
Donkey kick.
Rugby?
That's what I guessed last night in trivia. It was not rugby.
Was it?
I was gonna give Draven a second to.
Is it?
I got it wrong. I guess rugby.
Hockey?
No, it was skateboarding / snowboarding. I was like, that.
What?
The hell's
think
a
of that?
Donkey kick.
When they do the
donkey.
Like, it makes sense once I started thinking.
The donkey kick, I think, is where they like put their. Is that where they put their hands on the skate, or is that where they go up and like kick the skateboard out like on their hands? Maybe.
Oh yeah.
I think
like
so.
That trick.
I definitely know what it is in like snowboard. Yeah, it's like that where they like. I think it's where you like grab the board after you like kick it back like that.
It'd be hard to do in snowboarding, I would think.
Yeah, really.
Well, when you're doing the like the ramp things and you're like up in the air.
Okay. I was picturing more like on the ground, like going legs out. But yeah, up in the air makes sense too. I was thinking just
it's
on
like
the ground.
A trick
kinda, yeah, like
thing,
you're grinding,
yeah.
Kind of do those. Okay. Yeah. I was speaking of trivia. That one got me. Made me feel stupid.
That's a tough one.
I thought so too. All right, Hayden, so what else? You're my college basketball guy. What else we got?
We did have some NCAA tournament news this morning.
Ooh.
What was that?
So pretty much...
Hit me with it.
Every year...
Faster.
It's hard to explain. So you have
everything
the
four, it always is with you.
You have the four top one seeds, right?
Uh-huh.
And they get broken up by their geographical
sure,
locations
usually, yeah.
And regions. Best they can do. This year, like they said...
The one seed, if Gonzaga's the one seed, they'll make sure they put them in the West. Although this year, there's no West, right? So
yeah, so pretty much they're going to list them... 1 through 4, they're all going to get broken up, and then they're going to try to – it's going to be straight down. So it's going to be like the 5th overall seed, which is the number 1-2 seed,
will play
will
the,
go
the
to the
one
weakest
seed.
One seed.
Well, that's
yes.
Usually how they try to do it.
They'll try to do it like that, but this
the
year
two
we'll have
seeds
no –
they don't really give the 2 seeds the benefit of the regional breakdown,
mm-hmm.
Usually. But, they try to make 5 through 8 play, like match up where they're at. So this year you said they're going straight down?
Straight down, 1 through 68. So,
so 5 will play 1 or 5 will play 4?
5 will play 4.
Okay.
Yes.
So doing like the S-curve thing.
Yes. They're going to try to do it like that. There's not going to be any... So
no matchup bias.
No, you
I'm not buying that. Texas
yeah.
And Tennessee is going to find a way to play in the Elite Eight. I'm telling you, mark it down. It might have to be the Sweet 16 since we might not be a one seed anymore. And I guess Texas did get beat the other night by Mac McClung. Shout out to him.
Hey.
Gate City boy.
I don't think he would have been a fit here.
No, I'd like to him been, though.
We wanted him, but I don't think he'd be a fit on this team. That's like got a. Although we would know who the shot taker was because he don't let the mother boy shoot at Texas Tech. Like, he's like, I got it, get out of the way, and then he drained that shot. Good for him. So maybe Texas might find their way down to a 3 seed. I don't know. Tennessee and Texas are playing in the Elite Eight. Just mark it down. It might be the Sweet 16, but in the tournament they were playing. Trust me. Just watch.
It's gonna be hard if they're both 2 seeds though.
Sure.
Possible, pretty much.
Well, yeah, but what's the likelihood they're both 2 seeds?
I'd say it's 15%, pretty
20%.
Yeah, maybe a little higher than that, but I mean,
okay, I mean, Tennessee could work. Right now, Tennessee would be a 1 seed, right? According to the net rating, I mean, I know that.
According to the net rating, yes.
I know that's not the end all be all, but well, you say they're going down 1 through 68, so I guess they're still going to rank them themselves.
Yeah, they're still going to rank them themselves. Like the reason this was news because some people thought they were going to set the tournament up just like. It would have been if it was across
sure.
The country and kind of just play it west, east, south, midwest
sure.
In Indianapolis.
Sure.
So, yeah, they're going to break it up like that.
Well, that'll make for a – I mean, this whole tournament is going to be weird. Do we know if Indianapolis is going to allow any fans in the tournament? Mm-hmm. They announced it. Is it going to be a completely closed tournament?
I don't know. I do know that –
at least the bands come.
Yeah. Which the band's not even in Knoxville this year. Not even in Tennessee.
Really?
Mm-mm. Not even in the game.
Where are they at?
They just play the music.
I mean, like you said, the band's not there.
I mean, I guess they
haven't gotten together.
They're
not
in the games.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying. They're not in the
games. They're somewhere else playing. Like, they had them like recording music for like an album they're going to release or something. Yeah, like, but they're not performing, is what
you're
saying.
They're not performing at the games, yeah. So, but they are.
They had them all holed up somewhere, making them practice.
They are splitting up.
You guys ever seen Whiplash?
Yeah.
That music movie.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah. Looks good.
Yeah. That's how they're treating the UT trumpet players. Getting them whipped up into shape for next year. Cheer on our 3-7 team.
Woohoo.
Sheesh. Well, that's a cool little change of pace, I guess.
Yeah.
Like I said, I feel like they usually do that at least with the ones and two seeds, but, you know.
Sometimes they'll put the two seed, like if, say, Tennessee was two seed, they'll try to move them to the South just for fans' perspective, but if they don't think it fits there, then they won't put them there.
Please go ahead and note that if Tennessee gets bounced early, this was a stupid tournament that doesn't count, but if we win, it's very legitimate, okay?
Yeah.
Of course.
And your question about the attendance, I seriously doubt there's going to be that many because the satellite campuses are like IUPUI, Purdue.
Ooey pooey.
Yeah. And two other ones, I don't really know. But like Purdue, I don't think the Big Ten's allowing any fans. Okay. So I'd seriously doubt that's going to happen.
Yeah,
I just know Indiana's a pretty red state, so I didn't know how.
I'm reading this article from the Indy Star, and they kind of talked about how the Colts had limited capacity and they kind of expect
a
limited capacity type situation. Yeah.
Indiana's pretty red, so like I figured that if any state was.
They had 10,000 fans so for the football games, so I'm sure they'll have a limited.
It's one thing to have a Colts game there where, you know, a lot of the people at Colts games are probably in Indiana versus bringing people from around the country into the tournament. Because, like, if all 68 teams are there, I mean, you'll have a good share of Tennessee fans running up trying to go to those games.
Right.
So it might not be worth it. I don't know. All right. Thank you for the college basketball segment, Hayden. Good job by you.
Do you want a bracketology update real quick?
No, not really.
Well,
okay, go ahead.
Tennessee.
That's so good, I'll let you have it. Go ahead.
Tennessee has moved.
Hold on. Time out. First rule of bracketology, you got to tell me. Is it Lenardi or is it
It's Lenardi. It's
okay.
Lenardi.
Well, Palm's out here too.
Okay.
And they do. I think the people have shown that there's been a lot of people that show that like Lenardi and Palm are actually two of the worst when it comes to like actually being accurate. But that's what happens when you're on a big brand.
Mm-hmm.
Big bank, take little bank. All right, give it to me. Lenardi.
Tennessee
Coward.
From Tuesday.
Three seed. Lenardi's got to the 3 seed. What a chump. He hates Tennessee. He hates Tennessee so much.
Mm-hmm.
Bracketology now comes out on Tuesdays and Fridays. On Tuesday, Tennessee moved to a 2 seed. Today,
back to a 3 seed. Already.
No, Tennessee is still a 2 seed, but they have moved up from an 8 overall to a 7 overall. Now they're playing Baylor instead of Gonzaga, which would be very beneficial to Tennessee. Probably still lose both of them, but
wow,
I don't like that attitude.
Yeah,
but
okay, never mind. I don't know why we're taking a turn to negative town here on a positive Friday.
You'd rather play Baylor than Gonzaga.
It's PC. Well, you said that's not what we're arguing about. You said we're going to lose both of them. It's a PCO Friday, and here you are bringing me down with negative content, negative energy.
We already have enough negative stuff going on, Hayden.
It's called the football program, Hayden.
Ever heard of it?
Yeah. Have you?
Illinois is the 3C.
I don't care. Let's
down.
Go to break. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio. Any big games this weekend in college basketball? I mean, I know Tennessee. It looks like the Vanderbilt game's on, right? Like,
it's on.
Okay,
it's
I was
going
to say we were supposed to have an update on that if they were going to have to cancel it since they have done their test, but I guess they have tested negative enough. We're good to go.
Yeah, we'll be playing tomorrow.
We're doing it in Knoxville, right?
Yes. It was the originally scheduled game, yes.
Okay. I didn't know if they were like, hey, you're already in Nashville.
No, I'm pretty sure we drove out there on Monday night or Tuesday morning and came straight back. So.
Okay.
Yeah, we have three inside the top 25 matchups, Ohio State, Illinois.
Don't care about that.
Baylor, Texas Tech.
Okay, a little Mac McClung action.
Yeah.
Hold on.
And you said Michigan, Minnesota. That's another one.
Yeah, Michigan, Minnesota. Oh, actually, there's four. Virginia, Clemson, which will be the most boring
Clemson's
game
in the
ever.
Top 25?
I was about to say, I didn't know they were ranked.
They're number 12.
Wow.
What?
Yep.
Telling you, man, you get that football money coming in.
Yep.
Alabama's now the best team in the SEC in basketball, and Clemson's finally gotten good at basketball. All right, Georgia, we'll wait on you, who are 0-4 in the SEC. Tom Crean, not getting it done.
Nope.
Who would have thought?
What, they get blown out by, they got blown out the other day by like 20 points by some.
Georgia did?
Yeah, it wasn't even a good team. I can't remember who it was.
Auburn beat them by 18.
It was Auburn.
Arkansas beat them by 30, I guess, last weekend. So, yeah, they lost to Mississippi State by 10, LSU by 2, and then, yeah, I've gotten blown out by 30 and 18 by Arkansas and Auburn. So, Tom Crean, not doing a very good job so far.
Auburn can really put up the points, can't they? They scored 95 on them. My God. Jeez.
Well, I mean, that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to just get out here and just run and play as fast as they can, shoot as many threes. Hasn't really worked for them. They're 1-4 in the SEC, but still.
Play Kentucky tomorrow. Kentucky struggles scoring a little bit.
4-7, Kentucky, who is 3-1 in the SEC. That's still crazy to see.
NIT, baby.
Do you still have the bracketology pulled up?
Yeah.
How many SEC teams are projected to be in there? Because I can't imagine there's many right now. Like, Vanderbilt's not going to be in there. Georgia's not going to be in there. Ole Miss shouldn't be in there. Missouri probably still is. Kentucky's not. Auburn's not. Mm-mm. Arkansas probably is. Alabama is. And then I'm not sure. Like, LSU, yeah. Florida, probably not. Mississippi State.
Do you want me to read you the...
Yeah, give it to me. Okay. I'm just looking at it. I can't imagine there's very many. Like, I'm feeling like 5 or 6 at most.
I'm looking at the conference rundown here. SEC's got 6.
Okay. So Florida probably is in right now.
Yeah. And there's nobody else. I looked at the little bubble line over here, last 4 in, so on and so forth. There's no SEC teams on there, so I'd say these 6 are solid in for right now.
Uh-huh.
Most teams with a team, or conference with the most teams in right now is Big Ten. They have 10. Big 12 has 7. ACC has 7.
Does it say who they are, the 6?
I can just look through here. Alabama is a 5 seed. Hmm. Tennessee's 2 seed, obviously.
Yeah.
Why are we at 2 and they're a 5?
I really don't know.
I mean, I'm just wondering, like, because I mean, it's not like we had a good non-conference schedule. I mean, I guess that Colorado win's looking pretty good. Like,
yeah,
Colorado's into the top 25 last week in terms of the net rating, right?
Colorado's number 9 in the net rating.
Okay, so like that is probably the best. Well, I would say the best win, but Alabama has won over the number 4 team, us.
Yeah, they do.
On the road,
Alabama is number 23 in the net ranking.
Okay, I was just wondering how that made sense.
They aren't even the second.
I guess they've lost 3 games, though. They've lost 3 games. They've only lost 1. They lost to Stanford and Clemson and Western Kentucky. Okay, so I guess that makes more sense.
LSU is also ranked 18th, so they're not even the second SEC team in the net.
Okay.
So LSU's also in, Florida's in, and let's see. I believe Mississippi State would be the other one.
Okay, that's good enough. Draven?
Missouri, actually.
Hayden came through, so what do you want to talk about now? You want to go back to the booths, sitting on the same side? You want to go back to that? What are you bringing to the table?
Nah, I'm over the booths.
You're over the booths? Okay, you sure?
Yeah.
Cam, you got anything? When's that new Marvel show come out?
It came out at 3 a.m. this past morning.
Ah, did you watch it?
Depends on who I'm talking to. Yes, I watched it. Yeah, of course I watched
it. How much did you watch? Just one.
Two episodes came out.
So they're doing they're doing that thing like Disney Plus is doing The Mandalorian, where basically you're going to get one episode a week.
Yeah.
Make you pay for it as long as you can. Yeah. Makes sense.
Yeah. Just business.
Good or no?
It's interesting. I don't really know how to describe it. It's very unique.
It doesn't seem like a good show to watch at 3 a.m. in the morning.
It doesn't. I don't know how I don't think it's one of those shows that if you don't really have any tie, I guess, to the Marvel stuff. That you would just casually
it's
to
It's not
watch.
Gonna have crossover appeal, is what you're saying.
Yeah, yeah, but if you're into this kind of stuff,
if you're a nerd, you're gonna like it. If you're not, you're probably gonna be able to skip out on it.
Because there's a lot of little things you notice if you know the references, but
it's kind of the opposite of The Mandalorian, where The Mandalorian.
Yeah, you could, I'm not even super into Star Wars, but I watched that pretty well.
Everyone knows who Yoda is, so you can see that little green thing and think, oh, cool, got a little baby Yoda. Yeah. There's not going to be anything from WandaVision that does that. Okay, I got you.
Yeah, unless you like those old sitcom style shows.
Yeah.
It actually it's exactly like those. It's really interesting. I was very confused at the start.
I feel like I would just be confused the whole time I watched that.
I'm still
I watch that show. I feel like that'd be the one thing.
In, but you're also starting to notice stuff, and you're like, okay, where's this gonna go? So it gets you hooked in there. it's just you don't really know like what the purpose of everything is right now. So it's very interesting. I don't really know how to like rate it right now.
Okay.
But it does have potential for development. I'm really intrigued to see where they go with this stuff. But
well, Draven, they came through today. What do you got? You just start something with the show and then you're done.
You want to hear a cool stat?
No. Yeah.
6 of the 8 starting quarterbacks on teams in the division round were first round picks. You want to know the 2 that weren't?
So wait, say that again. 6 of the 8 quarterbacks
are first round picks. Who were the 2 that weren't?
Brady and I was going to say Brady and Breeze, but yeah.
Yep, Brady and Breeze. Yeah. Isn't that crazy? There you go. Take that and run with it.
So what are we saying here? First-round quarterbacks are really important, or? Because I mean, the 2 that don't.
Take
the 2
it
that,
you want.
Because the 2 that weren't, you know, are the 2 most decorated of
right.
the group. So what's the moral here? Be a first-round pick or not be a first-round pick? Or take it how you want, as you put it. So
take it how you want. Okay. That's how I look at it.
Thank you.
I think that's a pretty crazy stat, though. Mm. Brady and Breeze were the 2. 2 Hall of Famers, too.
What about if we extend it to last week? I mean, the teams that got eliminated, I guess, would we have had more first-round picks than not first-round picks or not? Because, I mean, like, Tannehill was. Oh, Russell wasn't. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Taylor Heineke wasn't, but Alex Smith was. So, I mean, like, they had a first-round quarterback.
Yeah.
Number
yeah.
1 overall pick.
Phillip Rivers was.
Yeah. Who else lost? Big Ben was.
Yeah, he was. And
who lost in the NFC? The Jared or Russell, we said yes.
Trubisky.
Trubisky, yeah.
He
yeah.
was.
yeah.
So everyone else except Russell was. I mean, again, Heineke wasn't, but we're counting Alex Smith.
So first-round quarterbacks.
So basically, first-round quarterbacks.
Wow.
Yeah. You add in Mahomes and Rodgers this time. So of the 14 playoff teams that went in, only 3 of them weren't first-round picks. Is that what we're to take away from this? Am I missing anybody?
No, that's it.
I mean, I know John Wofford technically was a starter, but still, like, Goff played.
Goff, he finished the game.
What round did Russell go in?
He was the 3rd.
Yeah.
The Jaguars picked a punter 1 spot before him.
Nice call by them.
Is that punter still even on the team? How do you take a punter in the 3rd round?
Yeah, that's
ever.
What I was wondering.
Same way Tampa Bay takes a kicker in the 2nd.
Yeah.
The same way.
Then they cut him.
That guy
they cut him
league,
like 2
yeah.
years later.
I mean, are we surprised that Jacksonville's done bad things? I mean,
just hired Urban Meyer.
Yeah, I'm just looking at this. I'm looking at this NFL team offseason resources chart right now that like shows like on a chart money and cap space and draft picks and like who has the most resources to get better this year. And on the extreme end of no money and no draft picks is the New Orleans Saints. Down the bottom left, and then in the top right, you have the Jaguars way ahead of everybody else, followed by the Jets and Dolphins. So those are the 3 teams with the brightest futures. I guess the Dolphins are probably feeling the best right there, but kind of crazy to look at. Yeah, the Saints, their hope not very strong right now.
Could be a downhill that. Run.
Jaguars
by
far the most assets. Hour 2 in the books. We'll kick off hour 3 with headlines.